All right, coming up here in the rest of hour number two here on Thursday Night Tailgate, we're going to be joined by Richmond Webb. And before Richmond joins us, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. Folks, please help a wonderful cause that's taking care of the guys who left so much of themselves out on the field. These are the guys, folks, that played back when they still needed to get off-season jobs to support themselves and their families. It's organizations like this one that was started by Mike Dickey. Again, it's called the Gridiron Greats, who are there trying to help the guys we all grew up watching and reading about. Please go online to gridirongreats.org to see how you can get involved. All right, now back in making his ninth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former Dolphins Pro Bowl left tackle and TNT Hall of Famer, Richmond Webb. Let me remind you about Richmond's background. He's from Dallas, Texas, played his college ball at Texas A&M, where he was an All-Southwestern Conference player back in 1989. He was also a team captain that season and the winner of the Aggie Heart Award. He was part of two Southwestern championship teams back in 1986 and 87. He was a first-round draft pick, the ninth overall selection by the Miami Dolphins in 1990. Played left tackle in the league from 1990 to 2002 for the Dolphins and the Bengals. Set a Dolphins record with 118 consecutive starts as an offensive lineman, folks. And to give you some frame of reference, that means he didn't miss a start for over seven seasons. He was selected to seven consecutive Pro Bowls from 1990 to 96, named AFC Rookie of the Year in 1990. He was also named to the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 90s. He was inducted into the Dolphins Honor Roll in 2006. And like we say every time he joins us on the show, what's keeping him out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a mystery to both Bob and I. Richmond, thank you so much for taking time out of your night. How have you been, my friend?
Great having you.
Hey, good, Chris. Bob, how y'all doing tonight? Glad to be back on the show again.
Doing great. Thanks.
We appreciate you. Yeah, doing fantastic. Richmond, I want to start by getting your thoughts on the Dolphins and their draft. I was surprised they didn't draft a center or any offensive lineman, you know, in particular, particularly since they parted ways with Mike Pouncey. Your thoughts on what the Dolphins did in the draft?
I thought they were addressing needs, Chris, but, you know, now that you bring up, losing a guy like Pouncey, if you don't feel that need in free agency, that's definitely a concern, unless you figure you got a backup that can step in, because the center position is kind of like the quarterback position for the offensive line. He kind of helps designate the front, make the calls, and then once he makes his calls, you know, the rest, it filters down through the line. So that's a very important piece, and when they decide to part ways with Pouncey, I thought they would try to, you know, address that through free agency. But as far as the draft, I thought they, you know, got the tight end and linebacker and the safety out of Alabama. So I thought we addressed some areas that we had some needs, but the center position is definitely one we probably should have paid attention to, and I don't think we did that during the draft. But I'm hoping it still works out for us.
And Richmond, they also didn't go after any of the top quarterbacks, right? And they, obviously Cutler's not going to be back. Tannehill is coming back from injury. They brought in Brock Osweiler. They brought in Bryce Petty from the Jets. Are you confident the Dolphins have a quarterback that can be the franchise guy? You know, it seems like they've been looking for that guy ever since Dan Marino retired. Can it still be Tannehill? Is there still time for him to be that guy, or do you think that's a position they're going to have to address pretty soon?
Well, I think this might be the deciding year for Tannehill. I think they've got a decent line around him. They've added a couple of pieces around him to where he should be able to make plays down the field, stuff like that. So, barring injury, if he doesn't get injured this year and they don't get the type of production or play that they think out of that position, I'm sure they will be looking to possibly fill that need in the draft. And, you know, some talks or discussion during the draft that I think the top four quarterbacks went in the first 10 picks. So I guess after that, it wasn't a guy that they really liked or felt comfortable taking after that. So if they didn't address that need this year, maybe next year, but I think this has got to be a good year for Ryan Tannehill. I think he's seasoned enough. He's been in the offensive system, and it's just time to go out and produce now. So, if he can do that, I think, you know, he might be that guy, but I think they're definitely going to be looking for answers. And if they don't feel he's the guy, they're going to be going out looking for someone else.
And Richmond, it sort of feels like the Dolphins have a long way to go in order to be up there and compete with the Patriots. What are the other things you think they need to address, whether that's on the roster, on the coaching staff, wherever within the organization? What do they need to do in order to start catching up to where the Patriots are at?
Well, I think one thing is we just got to be more consistent. We got to be able to sustain drives more consistently, and then, you know, not only play well at home, but play well on the road, and don't make those type of mistakes to beat yourselves. You know, that's one thing about the Patriots and Bill Belichick teams is they don't make those mistakes to beat themselves. If the game is tight, they normally, guys has been there, and they have the veteran locker room to kind of corral the guys and keep everybody focused on what's at hand. So, we got some strides to make, but if you want to beat them, that's who you got to go after, and that's how you got to perform more consistently and make plays and have guys be playmakers and develop in the players for us to be more competitive and actually have a chance to win that division.
Bob, questions for Richmond?
Richmond, it's always an honor to speak with you. I want to ask you the same thing I asked Marvell Smith earlier in this show. When you came out of A&M, Richmond, and you had Miami in your sights here, your first training camp, what did you personally think, Richmond, that you had to work on the most in order to become a good pro? Was it speed, strength, or all of the above?
I think the thing that I knew I had to work on, I think, you know, coming out of college, you normally got the speed and the strength. I think mentally you have to have everything in order. And being a high draft pick or first round pick, there's pressure to perform and perform well early. So I think what hurts a lot of guys is holding out and not getting into camp and missing a lot of training camp because that's where so much of the installation is. And I can remember going through training camp, you know, in the morning practice, we would install plays. In the evening, we would install plays. So you're getting jammed with tons and tons of information. And the quicker you can grasp it and learn it to where you're not just thinking about it, you can just go out and know the play and react to it. That's going to help your development. And then you got to get used to the speed of the game because, whatever you did in college is just that much faster than the NFL. So, to make that adjustment and then, you know, learn the offense, I think those are huge things in order for a young guy to be successful, when you're coming into, offense and then having the pressure trying to block for a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, when you get there and you won't be the guy hurt, that was always my motivation as well. So, I think one of the keys is definitely getting signed and getting into camp early. You know, being able to negotiate and work out the best deal for you. I understand you got to do that, but if you can get into camp early and not miss time, I think that pays huge dividends as far as learning the system and getting the reps and practice and stuff like that.
That was my second question, Richmond, as far as the pressure being a first-round draft pick. Did you feel it from any of the coaches or any of the other players? Were you treated any differently?
I don't think from the coaches or players. I think everybody know you're the top guy in that draft. And so when you first when I got to Miami, just getting interviewed by all the media, stuff like that, you naturally going to just draw a lot of attention from being the first round pick. But I think part of the pressure was, you know, I put on myself because when you're drafted that high, the last thing you want to do is be considered a bust or whatever. So I think it's pressure, but then I also kind of put pressure on myself because I wanted to perform and not be looked at as a draft bust. Or maybe they should have went in another direction, this and that. And so I put pressure on myself. It wasn't just outside pressure, not so much from the coaches and stuff, but for me personally, and then just for media, because there's always high expectations when you're a first-round draft pick.
Richmond, taking a look at your alma mater, Texas A&M. They have the misfortune of being in the SEC West with Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State. All of those teams had at least 9 wins last season. And not only do they have all of those teams on their schedule next season, they also get to play Clemson in week 2. So what are your expectations for your Aggies in this coming season?
Well, the good thing is I really like the hire of Coach Jimbo Fisher. Let me say that first and foremost. And, you know, knowing what he did at Florida State, he coached with Nick Saban at LSU when they won championship. He was the offensive coordinator. So I think he knows how to build a program to where we can compete and possibly get into the college playoff system or whatever. So as far as the facilities and stuff that we have at A&M, they're top notch. I think I would compare them to anybody around the country. Now it's just getting those type of players, those 4-star, 5-star guys in there and getting them loaded like Clemson, like Alabama, like Ohio State, and then getting on that level where you can compete with teams like that. So, this year, I'm saying it might be a little rough. You're right. We got a tough schedule, but within the next couple of years away, Coach Rich has been recruiting and stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be, tough to turn it around, or it's not going to be as tough to compete with a school like Alabama, Clemson. You know, you step on the field and you can match apples for apples or oranges for oranges and have a legitimate shot of winning the game. But we got to get there. So I think we may be a year or two off. So it might be a little rough this year, but you know, I'm going to ride it out.
Richmond, getting back to your time in the NFL, you know, the NFL's a business. The Dolphins are then a business within a business. Was there a moment in time, either when you were drafted or some point during your career, where it really became real for you? Like, yeah, this is a business. It's not about loyalties. It's not about other things. This is a business.
Yeah, you know, I think I realized that toward the end of my rookie year. And I don't think, you know, coming out of college, you know, you used to 95 guys being on scholarship. And, you know, when I came in, I think they brought in 80 guys as far as training camp, this and that. And then you got to cut down to 53 guys. So the huge difference was when you got to college where you were a redshirt freshman, whatever, first coming in, you know, pretty much those guys are going to be with you from that time until, you know, you graduate, you recruit other guys. But, you know, you come in with 80 and then you got to cut, you know, 27 people, and knowing these guys are not going to no longer be on the team. I think that's when I kind of had that shock factor and realized that, you know, hey, this is a business. If you don't make it, if you don't produce, there's always somebody looking and they're always making moves and stuff during the season. So, you know, it was like musical chairs. If you're not going to perform and get it done, you know, they say NFL stands for not for long, and I definitely figured it out pretty quick.
And Richmond, when you look back over the course of your career, you know, when you reflect back on the games and the things that you got to be a part of, is there a game that still sticks out to you that, A, makes you smile and you think, boy, that was great, or that was a lot of fun? And is there also, on the flip side of that coin, is there a game that still bothers you?
I say one of the fondest memories, I think, is when Coach Shula broke the record and had the most wins. I think we were in Philadelphia, and we won the game there. And the ironic thing about it was Doug Peterson finished that game. I can't remember if Marino got hurt or whatever, but Doug Peterson finished that game. And then now he's the head coach of the Eagles, and, you know, he won a Super Bowl, so I was definitely happy about that. I think the one game that really sticks out in my mind that really was just horrendous was the loss to Jacksonville in the playoffs. The week before we had went and played Seattle and Seattle, and then we had to go to Jacksonville, but we just got slaughtered, and that was a tough loss. I think that's the toughest one that just kind of sticks out to me, was when we lost to Jacksonville that year in the playoffs, and that was a rough one there.
Bob, a couple more before we let Richmond go?
Yeah, sure. Richmond, I mean, you played until you were well into your 30s, a good 13-year career. You can't really have too many regrets. But at the end of that 2002 season, Richmond, did you think you were done as far as, was it your body? Was it you just had enough? Tell us your exit plan there.
Yeah, you know, during that 2002 season, I was with the Bengals, and I think it's the fourth, fifth game, and I end up tearing my pectoral muscle. So I rehabbed, and you know, I got that back, and I really thought about, you know, maybe trying to give it one more shot. But I started reflecting back, and once you start having injury, and it kind of each year I was kind of having to redo something and get something fixed or get something repaired, and I just kind of looked at it and said, you know what, I had a good run. And I decided to hang up my cleats, and then I was just happy that when I called the Dolphins and told them I wanted to retire a Dolphin, they gave me that opportunity to, you know, come sign a one-day contract and then, you know, retire as a Dolphin. So I think sometimes, you know, you might want to play longer, but when you continually start getting injuries or continue to get hurt, something like that, I think, you know, you got to consider or take that into consideration, and I did, and just say, you know, my plan at first was to at least play 10 years in the NFL, so I had made it that far and then had, you know, a little surplus with three more years, so I said, you know what, I've had a good run, it's time for me to hang up the cleats, and I made that decision, and I think that was the right decision.
And Richard, you were such a large man, stature-wise, and 184 games in the league. Without getting too personal, how is your health right now?
I have some aches and pains, but for the most part, I get around pretty good. I think when you know your body, you know certain things you do that wake up old injuries. You just try not to do that. So I've learned my body to where I know certain things I can do, certain things I can't. So as long as I don't do them, I'm in pretty good shape. So that I just kind of stick to those rules. But yeah, I'm doing okay.
Good.
Richmond, before we let you go, remind our listeners what you're doing now.
Right now, I'm just being a dad. You know, we got affected by Hurricane Harvey, but we're back in the house now. So we got that settled, and my youngest daughter plays basketball, so that kind of keeps us busy. So I'm just kind of enjoy watching her go through her little athletic career in high school and stuff like that, and just enjoy watching her grow up. And she's the last one in the house, so that's basically what I've been doing. Other than that, I haven't been doing anything.
Richmond, how can our listeners stay up to date with you, follow you on social media, and hear what you're doing or what your insights or your stories are, you know, whether it's online or over social media?
Yeah, social media is basically, I'm on Twitter, handle is Richmond Webb, that's easy, and I'm on Facebook. I think I'm pretty much full on Facebook, but it's Richmond Webb, and then I think my daughter said she's going to set me up on Instagram, but Twitter and Facebook keeps me busy, so I'm not rushing to get on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter and Facebook, so Richmond Webb on both of those, and that's how you can find me on social media.
Well, Richmond, Bob and I have so much respect for you, and always have such a good time when you're a part of the show. We can't thank you enough for being generous with your time again tonight, for being a great part of our guest Hall of Fame, and all the things that you've brought every time you've joined us. Thank you so much for doing it, and we hope you'll come back again real soon.
You know that's never a problem, Chris and Bob. Thanks for having me on again, and we always have a blast. So y'all have a good night, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Richmond. Take care. All the best to you and your family, my
friend.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
That is former Dolphins Pro Bowl left tackle Richmond Webb, and Bob, a better left tackle in the history of the game you will not find. So hopefully the Pro Football Hall of Fame eventually gets this thing right, because he was certainly one of the best to ever play that position.
There's no question, Chris. I keep looking at his numbers and his time there, and it just blows my mind, and I will not sleep that well until both him and Ed White are in Canton. And that's all that Richmond should be doing right now, is just Hall of Fame activities. That's what he should be doing. But we're going to keep our eye on that.
Hi, Bob and I will be back with you right on the other side of these words about our good friend Dan Pastorini and DP Quality Foods.
Most folks are familiar with Dan Pastorini's accomplishments on the football field or in race cars. But what most don't know? Dan's family background in the restaurant business. For 37 years, Dan's parents, Dante and Dorothy, owned and operated Pastorini's Longhorn Restaurant. So the Pastorini family has a long history of making great-tasting food from family recipes. Dan and his partners want to bring some of that to you with their Texas-style rub, Texas-style hickory rub, and their garlic and herb seasoning. First introduced back in 2011, Dan's Texas-style rub immediately began winning awards, taking home the first place trophy for best ribs at the Pasadena Livestock Show and Barbecue Cook-Off. They did it again at the 2012 Texas Ranger Wounded Warrior Cook-Off, and the awards just keep on coming. Check out Dan's line of spices online at dpqualityfoods.com. That's dpqualityfoods.com. And take what you put on the grill to a whole new level.